Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
We are going to have singing, we're going to have musical guests and all manner of people to come and talk to us this morning about Newbridge silverware, which is very much a part of Irish life for so many. Very hard not to come across it when you go shopping in just about everywhere, in not just in this country, but in others as well. One of the things we thought would be interesting would be to give a sense, because if you think about some of the companies in this country, you kind of wonder, well, how are they there and how do they get to be where they are and how are they flourishing and doing as well as they are? Well, we thought the only way to find out would be to go to the, as the fellows, to go to the source, and that's William Doyle, who is CEO of Newbridge Silverware. So we took ourselves into a little room to have a bit of a chat to find out the history of Newbridge Silverware.
And is one of Ireland's oldest surviving companies. In 1853...
Well, it's not the 9 o'clock news, that's for sure, but it is the voice of Anne Doyle. And it's a video that's shown in Newbridge Silverware. Now, I'm in the inner sanctum. There's no point in hanging around the gate. If you're going to do this, you have to come all the way in. And I'm with the CEO of Newbridge Silverware, and that's William Doyle. And it's
Good morning, Marty.
To see you again.
Lovely to see you,
Nice to be back with you. The story of the whole enterprise and your involvement in it... Yeah. I can't believe, having watched that piece of footage there, about the whole history of the of the enterprise.
Yeah. We date back to 1934. We're 90 years old this year, and we grew out of an old military barracks. Newbridge was basically a garrison town, which housed 3,000 troops. As a result of the existence of the barracks, the town became prosperous. You had wheelwrights, blacksmiths, saddle makers. Move on a few years to 1922 and the acquiring of our independence, and the fortunes of the town turned very dramatically when the troops left. So all of those skilled people no longer had work, and the buildings lay idle, and the equipment likewise, till a very far thinking Senator Cummins, who was local, he came up with the thinking that perhaps the abandoned buildings and equipment could be used for industrial purposes.
So he alone came up with this idea.
Then he got state funding. He made his way to Sheffield to do some market research, and he succeeded in encouraging five craftsmen, to relocate here in Newbridge to transfer know-how. So 25 craftsmen were initially hired, and they were former blacksmiths, wheelwrights, coopers. You guys came over to train the 25 that they had recruited. Yeah. So there were some significant early day directors on the board, one being Joe McGrath, who was the first Minister for Commerce. It was he who, along with Collins, negotiated the treaty in 21. And if there was a business that they believed had potential, they then protected it with tariff barriers and quotas. So as a result of that protection, the business grew very quickly to employ over 600 people. So it became very much part of the town, the fabric of the town, the culture of the town.
And it did very well, obviously, for a long time. And then it found itself in difficulty.
It did. It found itself in difficulty many times over the last 90 years. They managed to get through the Second World War and continued to prosper as a result of being protected. Every item of cutlery that was bought in the country had to come from here. All manner of product. So the protection helped the company to survive until such time as we joined the common market. And then the protection went. And severe competition from Japan and Sheffield. The company was about to close in 1973, and a group of local businessmen acquired it, and it scaled it back significantly. And my father got involved at that stage, and a decision was made just to focus on the upper end of the market. So that thinking allowed the company...
Which was a big risk in a way, because...
Huge risk, yeah.
You hadn't been there before, so anything could have happened.
But it worked. And formal dining was in vogue at that time. So people liked to dine with linen-clad tables, crystal, silver. And that was fashionable up to the mid-90s when style preferences changed. People wanted to dine in the kitchen, no longer the dining room. pine table, stainless steel cutlery rather than silver cutlery. But we, by chance, we managed to reinvent again. We discovered that we had the ability to produce fine jewellery. And at that moment, the Newbridge silverware concept was born. So no longer Newbridge cutlery. So we had some good fortune. That wasn't an instant success. We tried and failed on a number of occasions.
But isn't that the trick, isn't it? To try and fail and then try again.
Yeah.
And it must be a very exciting business to be in because of the fact that you have innovated to such a level.
It is, yeah. Exciting because the products are interesting, beautiful, and exciting, but also exciting because there are great people here. There's a great spirit in the organisation. It has a huge heritage. We go back such a long way, and there are many people here still with 50, 40 years service.
Which is people that you would have known over the years.
There are a number of people here that were here when I started in 1980.
There you go. Can you tell me roughly how many countries can you buy Newbridge silverware in?
We distribute extensively into the UK through retail outlets.
Yes.
But internationally, online, we sell to over 100 countries.
Yeah. So listen, will we go out and have a look and see what
Let's
we see?
That, yeah.
Good man.
Okay.
1853, with the outbreak of the...